Let's stand together, if you will. Just bow our heads and we open the service. Glorious, precious Heavenly Father. Lord, we are so thankful. Father, it seems like when we miss a service or two, Lord, our hearts grow fond, Lord. We just long to be here, Lord, under Thy presence. Long to hear Your word, Lord, and have You reveal something to us, Lord, that we need. Lord, I pray that You would just look into every heart that's come, Lord. Father, may You feed us of Thy word. Grant to us revelation, Lord, something that we can draw closer to You. That's my prayer. Bless everyone, Lord. May Your will be done in every phase of the service. We ask in Your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise His name. You may be seated. Amen. Come with me if you would. I think on page, in our only bleed books, 133. So thankful He reached down His hand for me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way and was raised. Capstone books, page 5. Oh, I am determined. Oh, what he's done for us, thanks. Give him my whole life. Amen. When I first found Jesus, something o'er me rolled. Like lightning, it went through me, and glory filled my soul. Salvation made me happy and took my fears away. And when I meet old Satan, to him I always say, oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. Satan was so angry, he said he'd soon be back. But let the path get narrow, and he will lose the track. Yes, I'm so full of glory, my Lord, I always find. And I just say to say, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. This old time religion, oh, makes me sometimes shout. I don't have time to gossip, nor any time to pout. They say that I'm too noisy, but when these blessings flow, I shout, oh, hallelujah, amen, Lord, hallelujah. Oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me. On him I can depend, and I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. When I hear the trumpet sounding in the sky, and see the mountains trembling, to heaven I will fly. Oh, Jesus will be calling, be no time to mend. With joy I'll go up singing. Oh, what a day. Think about it. Amen. I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me. On him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined hold out to the end. Amen. He's feeling that determination. Amen. It's by his grace, saints, that gene of God's in there. Hey, man, our little pamphlet's there if you want. Page 9. Why shouldn't I praise the Lord? Think about what He's done for us, what He's prepared for us. It's all His grace. Amen. Why shouldn't I praise the Lord? He's been so good to me. The living Word made flesh again and revealed to me. I was blind and I could not see till this message found me. Then I rose up to praise the Lord for all His mercies to me. When to Jerusalem our Lord went, there were praises to Him from the people who received the Lord, Him they highly esteemed. But the Pharisees that gathered there said, make them be still. But Jesus said the rock would surely cry out, let them shout, oh hallelujah. Amen. Why shouldn't I praise the Lord? He's been so good to me. The living Word made flesh again and revealed to me. I was blind and I could not see till this message found me, oh hallelujah. Then I rose up to praise the Lord for all His mercies to me. We shouldn't sit with our heads hung down. God is with us now, giving strength to the bride each day, since the true way she's found. And the manifested signs of God, this world surely will see. Then the rapture will take her away from death.
Oh, what a day that's going to be. Hallelujah.
Why shouldn't I praise the Lord? He's been so good to me. The living Word made flesh again and revealed to me. I was blind and I could not see till this message found me. Then I rose up to praise the Lord.
Going to be, saints. So wonderful. Hallelujah. Brother Hamilton, you want to come up for the offering?
Hallelujah.
Keep your eye on the gold, saints.
Yes, amen.
Praise His holy name.
Praise God.
Amen. That's the blessing.
Where would I be without you?
Where would I be without Jesus? Where would I spend eternity? Lost in a world full of sorrow. Oh, without Jesus, where would I be?
Amen.
Oh, tell me where.
Have something on your heart you'd like to make known by raising your hand. Just hold it on your heart, saints. We bow our heads.
Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Father, we sing these songs, Lord, with We can sing them with revelation by your grace. Lord, we can sing them by inspiration. Lord, the words coming forth, the revelation that you've granted to us, Lord, just bubbles in our hearts.
Yes.
And then truly, Lord, we can sing, where would we be without you? Lord, lost in this world. But Lord, your grace reached down, picked us up. So thankful for that, Lord. Your mercy in my life, Lord, is so undeserved. But Lord, I want to say thank you. I want to give you glory for what you've done for me. Lord, bless the people. Lord, the ones got something on their heart, Lord. Lord, you know what it is. Father, Lord, the wonderful thing is you've already paid the price, met the need, healed. Lord, it's all finished. Lord, grant us faith to reach out and claim what's ours. We thank you, Lord. Just bless each and every one, Lord. Meet their needs abundantly is my prayer. Lord, in the remainder of the service, Lord, just may our hearts be open. Lord, may the brother bring forth the word. Lord, feel us pulling. Lord, we need revelation so badly, Lord, in this day. So, Lord, we ask for that. And Lord, we just ask all this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Do you have a song coming up here? I ask if you come.
It's a pagan, idolatrous world we're living in. Everywhere you look around, it's nothing but iniquity and sin.
Precious
Jesus,
precious.
precious is your word. There's nothing more precious or dearer to me on this earth. It's a resting place. It's the sweetest thing ever heard. Precious Jesus, how precious is your
good to be here this evening. Amen. So thankful for each and every one that can make it out and see Brother Ryan Yeske's with us tonight. I want to say the Lord bless him and pray that something in God's word will strengthen him. Amen. Along with the rest of us. As we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Lord, we're just so thankful for your mercy and your grace. And Lord, for the love that you've shown us and what's drawn us here this evening. Lord, the desire you've placed in our hearts. Father, we just pray as we come and open up these few simple words, Lord, that I may, in my own expression, be simple, but Lord, it's your precious word, and it is spirit, and it is life. And Lord, we just want to ask you to take a few things, Lord, in my feeble way, and strengthen our hearts, Lord, and maybe draw us closer to you and keep us refreshed in the spirit, Lord, that we would keep pressing and looking for that soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it all. And we just ask your blessings upon your word. In your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
While you're still standing, if you would, we'll turn over to Hebrews for a start. Very familiar scripture. Just it seems like it just couldn't get away from it. So we're going to stay here this evening. Just a little different way, but just kind of meditating and dwelling on this and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Amen. As we think about it. But Hebrews 11, and let's just read that fifth verse. And if nothing else, maybe we just think upon this as individuals more and more as each day goes by. But Hebrews 11 and the fifth verse, rather. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. You know, when you stop to think about that, just a little bit, to put it in perspective, how many people was on the earth at that time? And God dealt with Enoch. And he had this testimony as an individual before God that he knew he was pleasing God. And that testimony went forth to be recorded in these scriptures that God translated him. And when you think about that, God is sovereign and how he reveals himself and how great he is to reveal to us the precious word that we have today. We all gathered here tonight as we've come and gathered underneath the sound of my voice and gathered around the word to see what the Lord would have for us, but we're here as individuals. Each one of us, you know, I came with my family, and maybe you come with your family, but we come here between us and God, saying, Lord, what do you have for me? And you know, if you would, turn over with me to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew 16. And the 13th verse, very familiar, but just catch this and let it be fresh in your heart. That's Matthew 16, 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Personal question. Who do you say? And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shalt loose shall be loosed in heaven." On earth shall be loosed in heaven. So there again, 12 disciples standing there at this time. But God chose to reveal to Peter who he was. Amen. And notice there, Jesus was standing there with him in the flesh at this point. But let's turn over to John, the 14th chapter. Amen. The Holy Spirit to maybe make a little picture for us. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Think about this. But here in John 14, and let's just start about the 15th verse. "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while in the world will see me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" And Jesus answered and said, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And these things I have spoken unto you, being present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Amen. And as you think about this, as Jesus was speaking these things at this time, and how, you know, don't know who all's gathered around here and the words that he spoke, but it was going out to individuals, and tonight we're hearing it, but it's got to be to me and to you personally.
Yes,
you know, the word goes forth broad like it's for everyone, but God alone knows where that little predestinated seed he placed before there was a moon or a star,
yes,
that would be in tune to grab a hold of his precious word in this day and in this time and be a manifestation for him.
Yes.
Just as in the day that Enoch, in his day, was able to look at what God's word he had at that point, and to look at his life and know he could have a testimony, "I please God."
Yeah.
And then to see Jesus, when he was here, speak to Peter and say, "You didn't get that on your own, but it was revealed to you."
Mm-hmm.
And then to make this promise that when he went away, he would come again in the form of the Comforter. And he would teach and lead and guide us into all truths. And how, as we stand here as individuals, each one of us alone knows if this has taken place in our life, if I receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And is that Comforter truly dwelling within me? And is there truly a true hunger and thirst just driving within me to be all God wants me to be? You know, We see many people that claim to be Christians. We, you know, all of us, we all go to church. We gather around God's precious word here and everywhere else. Every Sunday, the churches are full around the world with people calling themselves Christians or calling themselves believers. But there's a little predestinated seed in individuals here and there all over this earth that God is drawing them to a place. They're getting prepared. They're getting ready to leave this world and to take and change bodies. And to see the end of all things take a hold. And you know, it's a life you can't live yourself. You know, and as the prophet put it many, many times. He said, you don't have to ask a sheep to bear wool or manufacture wool. He just bears it because it's his nature. In this life of Jesus Christ, when the Holy Ghost come, we see the evidence of what it did on the day of Pentecost. When it came back in the book of Acts and God separated himself as his tongues as fire, their lives changed. They went out of there a new people, a new drive in them. The things of the world meant nothing to them. Their sole focus was to be soul-centered on Jesus Christ. So much that if you'll remember and recall, when John and Peter walked up to the gate called Beautiful, they took notice of them. And the prophet said, not because of who they were, but they took notice that the Jesus that they were with now was in them doing the same things. Seeing that life now, the understanding had come of all the things that he had said. He was leading them and guiding them into all the truths that had been spoken. And now it was being manifested and vindicated from their mortal bodies. Bearing forth a life and a testimony of who and what was living on the inside. You know, and how that's truly... You know, you don't walk up to a tree that's bearing fruit. It's so easy. You don't have to walk up there thinking it's an orange tree when there's apples hanging on it. You know it's an apple tree. You don't need no one to tell you different. And that's the way our lives are. Our lives are bearing fruit and testimony of what we truly believe. What's been revealed to me as a person? What's been revealed to you as a person? Each and every one. You know, you may have good friends. You may have loved ones, family. They don't have the same drives. They don't have the same appetites. They don't have the same thirst for God that may be in your life or my life. Yes. You know, you just see things that's taken place in your life, and you realize that by God's grace, there's a little something special down in there. Amen. And it's not something you could ever come up with on your own. You know, as we... Let's just turn over here to Ephesians and read this. I had jotted it down, and I know we know it, but just think about, as Paul wrote this, as we think about this, receiving the Comforter has come, and if he's imparted himself to us, and we've seen that soul change take place in our lives, and our nature's been changed. Yes. Our drives, our passions, everything about us is turned from looking at worldly, wanting to be like the world, but there's a drive to be like Jesus Christ and him alone. As Paul put it here in Ephesians 2 and 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein times past we walked according to the course of this world, and according to the prince and the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And you know, if you go back into the scriptures and look at all the examples that's been left, and we see all the lives that have been lived, and even down through the church ages, all the true Christians and the true believers for Jesus Christ, their testimonies are still ringing out today and bearing witness. And in the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, the prophet said it like this, just very familiar, paragraph 455. This was preached July 28, 63. He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you, Jesus said. Now watch, the Father that sent him went in him to vindicate himself right, for he was the Word. And the same Jesus that sends you goes with you and in you to vindicate the same God. As the Father has sent me, and I lived by the Father, so I'll send you, and you'll live by me. What is he? He's the Word. You live by the Word. Oh, how I'd like to take a text on that and preach now for a couple of hours on it. See, notice, the Father that sent me went with him, and the Father that sends, the Jesus that sends us, goes in us. A little while, and the world won't see me no more. Yet ye shall see me, for I, personal pronoun, the person, Jesus, will be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. And the works that I do shall you do also. Now go back and see what he done, and then see what you do, and then compare yourself.
Yes.
And how that is the life that was lived in this Bible, the life that was expressed. Each one of us has got to truly see that same expression coming forth from us.
Yes.
Not in a manufactured up, I got to do this, I got to act like this, I got to be this way. But something from the inside out is just automatically humbleness,
yes,
peace, gentleness, meekness, temperance, patience, faith. All of these things just seem to come out. Brotherly kindness and love.
Yes.
And how it just, it should so take us over. A harsh word and our words and our tongue should be so kindled with love.
Yes.
So carefully guard our words and our speech and our conversations. And how it should, there's a longing for this in that little special body of believers wherever, all over the earth, that God has seen in his great mind.
Yes.
That people that's going to be caught away in a rapture, they're going to have a testimony,
mm-hmm,
and an understanding and an assurance that they know their life is pleasing and matching up to God's precious word. Jesus said, who can condemn me of sin? Who can say that I have not done what the word said I would do to determine who I am? And that little bride today is flesh of his flesh, bone of his bones, the same spirit taking these mortal bodies under subjection to that precious word to bring our lives in control and under subjection to the word. Is he... just to kind of put this together, just bear with me for a moment. This is also in, this is in possessing, let me make sure I got that right. Yeah, as we, you know, we went ahead and read Ephesians. So this is in possessing the gates of the enemy after trial, March 22nd, 1964, paragraph 71. He said, we are saved by the blood of God. And that's where my faith is. Not walk out there in the blood of a prophet, not walk out there in the blood of an ordinary man or a teacher or a theologian. We walk out there in the blood of God. God said so. He became a human being. He changed his strand. He stretched his tent here with us and became one of us. He is our kinsman redeemer, and he had to become kinsfolks to us because that was the law, and God became man and dwelled among us. Notice how that in doing this, he coming from him was God the Spirit. And that Spirit becomes upon the believer. Therefore, the life that was in our sacrifice, we are identified by that same life. Then how can they see that life of God moving amongst the people and call it an unclean thing? When that's our identification of our sacrifice, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also.
Yes.
His life returning upon the sacrifice, from the sacrifice, as we lay our hands upon it, identifying ourselves dead to our own thoughts, then how can we let denominations push us into creeds and things and say we believe it? We are dead to those things.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, none of these things bother me, for he was tied to an absolute.
Yes, he was.
Christ. Every true achievement is tied to an absolute, and my absolute is the word, and everybody else is, that is, that's really born of the Spirit. Their absolute is God's word, and I'm tied to it. I laid my hands upon it, and it took my place, and I've identified myself with him. And he knew that he promised to identify himself with us. And that brings genuine faith. Not your own faith, but it's his faith, something that you don't control. He does it. And notice, and then and only then is the promise made real to you.
Yes.
And how, as we realize that without him, we're nothing. There's nothing good that I have ever done. But only by his mercy and grace and the love that he's shown unto us, and before he saw us in his mind, before there was a moon or a star, and said, that one's mine, he will serve me.
Yes.
And here today, each one of us stand as individuals with that opportunity. And I have to fill it for myself, and I realize, Lord, you've called me to this. This is for me, and it doesn't matter what any church says, what any man says, what anybody says here or there. It's one thing. God, you said it in your word, and you left it for us.
Yes.
And Lord, that's my absolute. I've got to make sure that everything that you're speaking to me, you know, some people may pick it up and read it and go, oh, that word means nothing to me. I don't got nothing to do with that. But oh my, maybe another individual, God, they read it and the Holy Spirit just quickens it to their life. And they're like, that's so real.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying, Lord. And another one's like, I don't know why you worry with that. It has nothing to do with you or me. But oh my, God is sovereign.
Yeah.
But he knows his own and he won't lose a one. He watches Amen. Over them and holds them in the palm of his hand. And he knows exactly where they are every moment of the day. And he's watching for them. And he is their comfort. He is their peace.
Yeah.
Oh my, he won't leave us comfortless. What a consolation to know that in a time and an age in which we're living, everything, you know, it's as you go through life, it seems like every day that's all you hear. It's troubles over here, planes falling out of the sky, this is happening, that's happening, they're finding this, this is cheating, that's not working. Just a mess of chaos. But it's so good to be able to go through that, and it doesn't bother me. It doesn't faze me, I don't dwell upon it. My one goal in life was to be like Jesus Christ. On earth I long to be like him. Oh my, why? Because this earth is not my home. I'm getting ready to leave. And by God's grace, there's a people all over this world that he called and seen before is a moon or a star. They're standing up just like that metal under that great magnet. There's a trembling taking place as they realize, look up, their redemption is drawing nigh. And what are they doing? They're looking in the mirror of God's precious word and saying, am I identified there? Do I see that life in me? Do I see it taking place? Do I see that desire? Do I see myself matching up to what Jesus Christ said a little bride would be in this day? Oh my, may it truly be something that's burning onto our hearts.
Yes, amen.
Amen. This is in the message, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, as well, over about paragraph 8484. His presence in the individual with a personal vindication of himself, expressing himself, the living word that's promised for the day, expressing itself through you, a vindication of that great revelation of God. Look, only in an individual, never in a group. An individual, not in a group, his identification is with an individual. You get that? He says, not with the Methodist, not with the Baptist, not with the Presbyterian, not Lutheran, nor Pentecostals. But as individuals, and we can sit here tonight and say it's not with the Capstone Life.
Mm-hmm.
It's as an individual.
Yeah.
We all gather in here, but it's between you and God whether you're trembling and waiting for that magnet to lift you away.
Amen.
You might have your feet entangled in the cares of the world. You might be entangled with everything that's down here in this life, just weighing you down and just wallowing in it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's somebody that's just fading away. They've turned their eyes upon Jesus and everything else is growing strangely dim. He says, it's not a group, it's a personal vindication of a pregnated child of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, so surrendered to God that he don't care about anything else. And the Holy Spirit living its life, pulsating through him, showing the personal vindication of the word itself, expressing itself to the people and to the world. And how can the world blindly walk by something like that, just the same as the Catholics walked by St. Patrick and didn't recognize him until after he was dead? The same thing they done by St. Martin and didn't recognize it. The same thing they done in all ages. And the same thing they done to Joan of Arc. The Catholic Church burned her for a witch because she was spiritual. And 150 years later, dug up the body of those priests and threw them in to do penance. It goes right by them and they don't recognize it till it's gone. It only picks up that predestinated seed that God predestinated before the foundation of the earth. The same thing come through in the days of Noah. And the same thing came through in the days of Moses, in the days of Elijah, in the days of the prophets, in the days of Jesus, and on down through to this very hour. The pregnated person with the seed of God and the word in there manifesting itself so surrendered to the will of God in that word that the word alone manifests itself in this person, the prisoner, to an individual. Not say, my church has nothing to do with it. It's an individual, one person, and all hell is against this teaching. All hell is against this truth, but it is the truth. Amen. To to an individual, God made manifest, expressing himself. And it don't matter how many say it's not so or it's not the way it is. If God's revealed to you that that's the absolute, oh my, hold to it with all that's in you and hold fast. Oh my, what if Peter that day he stood up and said, thou art the Christ. What if the other disciples, oh, he couldn't be the Christ because of this and that, because of that and all this. No, Peter knew. He had already said, God had placed something down on the inside. There wasn't nobody going to move it at that point.
Amen.
Amen. How great he is. You sisters can come to the instruments. I won't hold you real long here. Amen. This is in the, let's see here. Amen. Just got two quotes here. He says, this is in the message, The Harvest Time. He says, not a second Eve watcher. She was created anew. This is preached 12/12/64, and it's paragraph 278. Now the second Eve watcher, she was created anew like he was at the day of Pentecost, filled with the Spirit and fed by the Word. And now I'm getting religious, I feel good. The first church, the first Eve, which was Christ's bride. And how many can say amen to that? And the congregation says amen. He says, she was to be Christ's bride. She was born at Pentecost, not at Nicaea, Rome, not in London, England, or not in the United States, not in Germany with Luther, not in England with Wesley. Not in the United States with Pentecostals, the so-called. She was born on the day of Pentecost, and she was Spirit-filled. And when she was Spirit-filled, the Word fed every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, even to Judas. Oh, they just had to take everything just by word, a real blooming plant on God's earth, representing him and another bride tree. And his word of promise reflected him in her. And they had to take notice to Peter and them that they hadn't been to a seminary, and they knowed that. They hadn't been to any Bible school in some theological seminary. They had no education because they couldn't even write their own name. But the Bible said they were ignorant and unlearned. But what happened? They had to take note they had been with Jesus. For there he was in them, reflecting his promise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what we need in this age, is his word reflecting him in her, the church.
Amen.
She was alive by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Hallelujah.
That's got to be to us as individuals.
Amen.
That's got to be me. That's got to be you. The reflection of every word made real and alive in us, bearing forth life and proof to this nation and to this people that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
It's not what I can do, but it's what he will do through a yielded vessel of you and I, that he, as we surrender ourselves as a living sacrifice unto him, holy and acceptable. Amen. This was in the message, God of this Evil Age. Just think about this, Brother Branch. This is very simple, but he says, but in obedience, this is one paragraph, 167. But in obedience, this little faith woman that lives by faith, the bride, the person here off somewhere else, some other church, some other denomination, whatever it is, in some not, believes the word of God, obedient, waiting in love for the promise of the age to be conformed. She's watching for it.
Yes.
She is part of that word, and she is watching for her life to manifest that word.
Hallelujah.
Brethren, can't you see that? I hope that didn't go over you. The body is waiting, which is the word, waiting for the life, which is the spirit, to confirm or to make it alive. That's what she's waiting for. No other life will work in her. She can't come to life any other way. Yet she fills it out there, and she knows it's going to happen. And then here it happens, and she wakes up, and God said, let there be. And she came forth like the first one came forth.
Amen.
And oh my, we're coming down to that honed razor's edge.
Yes.
That little bride, the word has been chipping and shaving and taking away the world and the cares of the world and all the entertainments and the things that this world loves and all that they want to uphold. But oh my, there was two spirits at work in the framework of the church and in the world. But oh my, I'm looking and seeing the reaction of the Spirit that's within me, pointing me where? To the Word.
Amen.
Back to what God said that little bride would be. My desires aren't to be down here to see what I can achieve and how much I can have and how much I can get. But oh my, this world is truly growing strangely dim as each day goes by. You know, you see more and more as time goes on. People just think money brings happiness, and they want more of it, and they got to have the fancier this and the fancier that, and it's got to be bigger this and bigger that. It don't bring no satisfaction, because there's a hunger put in a natural person, And that thirst was for God, and they try to shut it up with everything else in life. They try to fill it and try to find satisfaction, but there's only one place where there's real satisfaction, and that's in Jesus Christ and His precious Word.
Yes.
And a full surrender to Him in obedience, saying, Lord, I'm yours.
Yes.
And oh my, let Him have His way in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, let's all stand if you would. Just a little short Thursday evening, pray that you take a little something from it.
Yeah.
Amen. But let's just sing that little chorus, so glad I'm yours, Lord.
Yes.
Amen. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me.
Amen. Think about it.
So glad you found me. A few services, you know, it's just so wonderful to have the opportunity. Amen. I felt bad about Sunday morning. I went out and checked the weather, and I drove around. It was a real struggle, but I think it was for the best. Amen. That we didn't have service, but all saints, each time we get an opportunity to come into the sweetness of the Holy Spirit and to be with saints of like precious faith and to truly uplift Him and worship Him and praise Him. Oh, it just should be so sweet. Amen.
Glory,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus. We are standing on holy ground. We ask our pastor to come. Amen. We are standing on holy ground.
Yes, Lord
Jesus. And I pray.
thankful again for the Word of God. It's just so refreshing every time to hear the Word and to be able to sit there and measure yourself up by it and then feel that growth take place. Amen. Hearing the Word of God. You know, I believe with all my heart right now there is something special going on in the heart of the bride. Sure, it won't be noticed by many, but in the true bride of Jesus Christ, there's a special calling going forth in her heart. I can feel it. Amen. As we've been studying on that rapture, it's just something, it's so special. It's so wonderful to even think about how, you know, when the Word of God, Paul told us, he said, as every son of God, he said, they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. We realize how special that is to be led by the Spirit of God. Not only for a minister to get up here and minister the Word of God or wherever they minister at, but for every individual that's a son or daughter of God to feel that special leading and their hearts. A very special pull going on inside. You know, and I was thinking about this week and been thinking about it. Actually, I woke up this morning, I don't know, I think when I first got up, it was like 15 after 3. And I got up for a little bit and I thought, well, I need to lay back down a little bit and try to get a little more sleep. And then I had 3 or 4 hours of sleep and I thought, well, I'll try to lay back down. So I tried to lay back down, but maybe my mind was just, I've been back to that rapture. And I got to thinking. I thought, you know, there's so many examples. You can sit down a minute, if you don't mind. There's so many examples with even animals. And again, I was thinking about Brother Brand talking about, because he illustrated it so perfectly, about those animals going on that ark. You know, Noah spent that 120 years building this ark. God told him how to do it, told him exact the plans. He'd done it according to God's will, God's directions. It came time for the animals to come to the ark. And here was all these people mocking and scoffing that Noah had been preaching to. And yet all these animals, didn't even have a soul. Remember Brother Bram told us an animal don't have a soul. So, but yet, the power of God moved upon these animals and pulled them to the ark. Now we may just think of that and think, oh, it's no big deal. And we may not think much about it. It's an animals, you know, and they had to get on the ark. But do we really realize what was happening as those animals were being drawn to that ark? Them animals could not help themselves.
That's right.
The power of God was pulling those animals to that ark. And then you just keep on going. Like I said, I'm just using for example for a moment, just animals. Because we think, there's an animal. We're humans. We have a soul. How much greater is God going to pull a man or a woman?
Amen.
I mean, when you think about the geese, you know, certain times of year you see them flocking and they make their little V, you know, and one's the head, you know, and leads the rest of them. They go their direction the way they're supposed to go as they make their journeys. All the different birds and things. So we was looking at barn swallows because we was wondering about barn swallows because we got so many of them down there in the summertime. Just wondering where they went in the wintertime. And here they make their journey along clearing to South America. You know? Who told them how to go there? Who told them when to leave? I've noticed when I'd be out in the barn early in the morning, you know, of course, you turn on the light. In the summertime, they're just making all their noise and everything. You know, because it's getting light and now they're coming to life again. But always when it comes to a certain time of the year, it just seems like they all disappear. You know? You might see a straggle one here and one there, but overall, that morning happens, usually in August, seems like first, second week of August, of all times, not wait till we're late. But you turn on that light, there's no noise. No barn swallows. Gone. And something as tiny as a, like a little butterfly being drawn clear to Mexico, you know? The possum,
that was drawn to the prophet's doorstep, dying. You know the story very well. I'm just thinking, these animals, and I'm thinking, us human beings, being pulled to rapture, and not everybody's going to get it. Not everybody's going to feel it. Not everybody's going to be pulled by it. But there is a people, something's going to be revealed to them that's going to pull them right off this earth. As Enoch was being the type, all right, Timothy mentioned Enoch, the book of Hebrews, Enoch being that type, you know, here he was translated. By faith, he was translated. Brother Bram said he was raptured. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, we don't know exactly, because at that point the scripture doesn't tell us exactly what happened or what, I should say, Enoch felt at that time. But I'll tell you what, I'm getting a pretty good idea what happened by the word of God. As we'll go into it and see these things, I'm just talking about some things. I'm just trying to get you a little excited, so maybe Sunday you'll be praying and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal the word to you. Okay? Because as I see these things, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And something has to happen to get us ready for rapture.
That's right.
Remember, Brother Branham said, and we've read it several times in the last couple weeks, that little bride is going to be waiting for that rapturing faith. She's going to be watching. It would be a love affair. Yeah, a love affair. As Paul said, they that love the appearing of the Lord. And Brother Brown went in and explained that. But just think now, what is this, what's going to be pulling us? You know? As I said, there's so many things in animal life that you can express and talk about. I mean, great migration in Africa and different things. All these different animals, it's something draws them. Brother Brown talked about the earthquake. You know, they leave the walls, the little birdies do and things. Get away from them walls, because the earth's getting ready to shake. And nobody told them. Didn't hear it on the radio. Human beings didn't come and say, hey, you got to run because there's getting ready to be an earthquake. No. Proven fact that animals that's been penned or fastened up, especially elephants, over in these other countries where they've got elephants and they're using for tourists and stuff, chained up. Yeah. Nobody else knows, but these elephants begin to find out. Something tells them there's going to be a tsunami, earthquake, and a tsunami is about to take place. And here they are jerking these chains and break the chains and go to higher ground. Nobody told them. Nobody let them whatsoever. But there was a power within.
Amen.
That pulled them, that drawled them. As I said, the possum for prayer. Can't forget my pet cow, you know, dying. Yeah, hadn't eaten for days. Anybody knows a cow that don't eat for days, it's going to die because of the rheumatism and stuff in the stomach, those different stomachs operate. And finally, for some reason, she gets something on the inside. And she finally gets herself up and comes up and walks over to me. Here I am, just kind of out there by myself and talking to her. You know the story I've told before. But I just was talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, I wished I could do something for her. You know, I've had this old cow for 14 years, 13 at that time, I think it was. I thought, you know, I just feel so sorry for her. Here she is dying. I had vets there two, three times. And they thought she had cancer. They didn't do it any further because I didn't want to spend the money and try to test that. Just standing there, she finally musters up enough strength. Laid there for, I don't know, been probably 2 days at that time. She gets herself up. And struggles over to me. I just stood there. She struggles to me. But what was happening to her? An animal. And she pulled herself up to me and put her big old head right up against my chest. Because of her height, her head hits me right right here. And she just pushed her head up against me. And I said, Lord, I said, maybe I'm supposed to pray for her then. So I just wrapped my arm around her. I said, Lord, would you heal this little cow? I said, for some reason, I want you to heal her. Would you do that, Father? 2 years later, she's still fine. And she was dying. But what pulled her there? What pulls these animals to do what they do? You've seen it. You see what they do when they hibernate or do different things, migrate to different areas. There's a law there. When God put it all together in the first place, and let it be. And it was. Oh my. But as the prophet said, if God can do that for an animal, what should he be able to do for us?
Amen.
Human beings that have souls, that's predestinated, filled with the Holy Ghost. Is there anything that can keep us from changing bodies? No. We just got to recognize something. We just need faith. Oh, yeah. Our goal ain't to build this and gain that and get more and this, that, and the other. Our desire is to change bodies. Why? Because we know it's the time. There's got to be people getting ready for that. Go on preaching this and preaching that and preaching this. But we better be getting ready for the rapture.
That's right.
Whatever it takes. Because there's going to be a people leave on these days. And many, as the prophet said many times, he said, I thought this was supposed to happen. I thought that was supposed to happen first. Oh, no. It's already happened. He didn't know nothing about it. Friends, I don't want to be one that don't know nothing about it. I want to be ready. Because it could be in the morning.
Yes.
Yes. It could be next week. I don't know. It could be a year from now. But there's something going on in the true bride of Jesus Christ. Special. Pulling her. Drawing her. Brother Timothy mentioned about the magnet Brother Brown talked about. The old metal flakes quivering, shaking. The great power of that magnet was a drawing. I feel that happening on the inside, friends. This body is getting ready to change. Oh, my. You can't quit thinking about it. You wake up in the morning thinking about it. You think about it during the day. You think, Lord, am I going to be finishing this day out? Or is this my last day? You know? Is this going to be the morning that you come? Maybe between 6 and 9? Oh, hallelujah. What an excitement ought to be.
Amen.
But guess what? Won't be no excitement. You don't know who you are. And if you don't know you're born again or not, there's the thing. Because only those that's born again going up. The prophet should have said.
Amen.
See? Nothing else. Only those that's filled with the Holy Ghost that God has revealed himself to. It's a special people. Special people. So if you're feeling that pull on the inside, you ought to be so thankful.
Amen.
So appreciative. There's something is drawing you on the inside. Oh, it's getting closer. You're actually excited that another day is over with. Here we are ending another day and we're going to go home after we leave here. And we've just about finished another day. I'm one more day closer to the appearing of the Lord. Yes. With excitement. We've done brought those quotes out already on that part. See? So, what's happening on us, on the inside us, as individuals? Have we been able to see those things Brother Timothy talked about tonight? That identification is taking place. You're identified. If you haven't, that's why I encourage you, run to a prayer closet and cry out to God until you know you're born again. Till you see the results of it. Until you see that token display in your life, because that is where your assurance will come from. Nowhere else. There's so many people hoping they're going to make it in, hoping they're going to be in a rapture. Friends, this is something you got to know. This is a raptured faith, Brother Brandon called it. A raptured faith. See? So, let's press. Press toward the mark of the prize. The high calling in Christ Jesus. This may be the last time some of us will see each other again. Some Somebody may leave in the morning. Yeah. Are we excited about it? Or are we in fear? I'm not ready, my brother. You might say, well, it's time to get ready now.
Amen.
Because it's going to happen. It's been talked about for years.
Amen.
But the time's coming. Hallelujah. It's getting closer.
Amen.
Let us all stand. Didn't mean to hold you that long, but I thought, well, Lord comes in the morning. At least I got that part out of you. Amen. All right, let us bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, it's just so good to know you, Lord. It's just so good to know by grace what you're doing for us. And Father, I know that little bride all over the earth, wherever she's at, there's something special going on in her heart that millions will never catch, Lord. They'll never see it. Nothing will ever happen. But oh, I think of the scripture many times that you said, blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. And then in the book of Revelation, what the Spirit saith unto the church. Lord, it's what your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, is doing in the people's lives now. We've been given the word, Lord. You gave us the prophet. You revealed the word. You brought forth the mysteries. And Father, now has come time for the finish line. We're coming to the finish line. And Father, we're getting excited about it. So we're asking, Father, that you would just take and get down in each of our hearts and fix, Lord. Repair whatever needs to be repaired and replaced or taken care of that will get us ready for this rapture. Father, only you can press this into the heart of the bride. Only you will be the one that will move in their hearts. As Father, we look at the simplicity of the animal life as we spoke of. So simple. But yet, Lord, every little creature of the nature you put in them, of how you put them together, what they were supposed to do, how they were supposed to fly, or where they're supposed to walk, where they're supposed to live. Lord, everything you put in there. And Father, nothing will break it. No. And I can't help but to think, Lord, how an animal can know when an earthquake's about to happen. And yet, Lord, the human beings can't figure out a rapture's about to take place. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Forgive us of our slothfulness. Lord, give us revelation more than anything else in this life. Give us, Lord, that rapturing faith. That little bride over the earth, receive that rapturing faith. We'll get ready to leave. Thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy now. We appreciate you letting us be here tonight and Father, making it possible. We're so thankful for that. And may we just continue now to glorify your name as we part from this little place, but may we truly not part from your presence. Father, live by faith, walk by faith, talk by faith, look by faith, everything about us, Lord, by revelation. We ask it now, Lord, that it all be to your glory and honor, and bring us back the next appointed time, if you should tarry, Lord. And Father, may we come hungry for the word of God. We thank you.